Now, Bart, I hope you're paying attention. This story involves trees. On paper, the Three Rivers race looked promising. Certainly, any event where you have to sign a declaration of insanity is bound to attract the cream of sailfish sailors, and I was on board with one of the best. You might even describe Bob Smith as something of a Three Rivers specialist, because he's proudly signed the declaration and taken part in his sailfish no less than 17 times. As I'd only just met him, I couldn't tell whether the cumulative effect had left him very much altered, or whether he'd always been like that. The third crew was Bob's long-time sailfish buddy Dudley. As for the Norfolk Broads Three Rivers race, there is nothing quite like it. First run in 1961 from Horning Sailing Club, the mission is to navigate your way over a 50-mile course to points on the rivers Ant, Bure and Thurn, which sounds simple enough. But to make it more interesting, you're left to choose your own course. And as the rivers are tidal, that involves doing sums. You also have to lower your mast to shoot three bridges, which involves panic. And as there are 128 boats taking part, many of them with blinking great bowsprits, it also involves terror. Add general chaos, confusion, and more hazards than a crazy golf course, and you begin to get the idea. What's more, you've only got 24 hours to fit it all in. The so-called, quote, declaration of fitness, unquote, spelled it out quite plainly. It stated, I declare that whilst I may suffer from any of the following medical conditions, I sail at my own risk. I'll select a few of the conditions. Severe head injury with continuing effect. Mental or nervous problems in the last 2 years. Alcohol or drug addiction in the last 2 years. Profound deafness, double or tunnel vision. Any condition which could cause problems regarding your fitness to navigate a vessel. Well, I was honoured that Bob thought I was touched enough. As for Dudley, he sports one of those indestructible hats that elephants eat, so he also looked very much the part. In short, it looked like Bob had assembled a cracked crew. We certainly ticked most of the boxes. In fact, we all agreed it would be a foolhardy enterprise to embark on such an adventure without as many of the above afflictions as possible. Now, to give the other boats a chance, we were set off in the last and 13th start. Just after midday on the Saturday, in no time at all, though, we caught up with a sizeable chunk of the fleet, which had congealed on a bend in the River Ant. The winds were light and fluky, and as the River Ant is only about 2 feet wide at its widest point, whereas the longest boats in the race were 45 feet long, it was no surprise to see a sizeable flotilla gridlocked in a giant game of pick-up sticks. We tarried a moment to enjoy their measured discourses along the lines of, I can't move if you don't move, to which the standard reply was, I can't move if you don't move, only louder. We left them to it and headed for pastures new. One of the things about the Three Rivers race is that with all the boats choosing their own course, boats come at you from all directions, and you never know who you're racing. Although generally, it was best not to argue with anything big with lots of varnish and a bowsprit. Now, with their huge gaff booms deployed on one side, genoas poled out on the other, they could fill the entire width of the river on some stretches. Other than asking Scotty to beam us up, there was not an awful lot we could do. Even so, we had a little bit of a to-do with a varnished gaff fella who blustered that under the rules all rivers belonged to him and we had no right to be there. As, with spluttering pomp and indignation, he threatened us with a protest flag, a charming lady on a nearby boat called to Bob, Don't worry, Bob, he's known for it. Leave it to me, I'll call his mum. Sailing can be a wonderful leveller. Maybe we laughed a little too much, but later in the race he tried to skewer us from behind on the end of his bowsprit. We dodged out of the way just in time, but we had fleetingly considered accepting the lift. On the upside, we'd have got a free ride and would have got home a lot sooner. On the downside, it could have got quite congested on the bowsprit if he harboured souvlaki feelings for others in the fleet. But there was one place where the sailfish truly excelled. in shooting the bridges, Bob had devised a cunning A-frame mechanism that allowed us to lower the mast and shoot the bridges with precision and panache. To commands of up 2-3, down 2-3, whoops 2-3, it was classic Dad's Army, with Bob as Captain Mannering, Dudley as Corporal Jones, and me as Stupid Boy Pike, flailing up round under the collapsed mainsail. As night closed in, the Broads became even more magical. Whispers wafted to eternity, and we could hear a breathy melody of contented snores through the hulls of boats as we ghosted by, sailing down our own moonbeam with vultures circling overhead. The moon that night was full, and maybe it touched us a little, as tiredness tugged us into delirium and fogged our senses. "Where's the wind?" asked Dudley. "Over there," said Bob. "Up there," I suggested. The fickle zephyr was an elusive, taunting phantasm, sometimes everywhere and nowhere all at once. On a few occasions we ran aground and wound up the keel to get going. But on one occasion that didn't work, and we sat there motionless in dumbfounded perplexity until we looked up and finally twigged. We'd gone aground aloft, so to speak, and got our mast caught up in a tree. For such testing conditions, the Sailfish has a unique triple-function facility that really came into its own. With its panoramic front windscreen and potty that you kneel before, it's possible to pee, peek and pray all in one. Now, you can't do that in a Sunseeker, can you? By dawn, we were done in, and we weren't even going nowhere. In fact, we were going backwards, and our senses were awry. But somehow, dirty, dishevelled and dazed, we flopped over the finishing line at 9:45 a.m., just 21 and a half hours after we'd started. We were 68th overall and first in class. And I can't wait to do it again next year. Now, how crazy is that?